ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಮೋಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾ ವರುಣೇಂದ್ರ ರುದ್ರಮರುತಃ ಸ್ತುನ್ವಂತಿ ದಿವ್ಯೈಸ್ತವೈಃ ವೇದೈ ಸಾಂಗಪದಕ್ರಮೋಪನಿಷದೈಃ ಗಾಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಸಮಗಾಃ ಧ್ಯಾನಾವಸ್ಥಿತ ತದ್ಗತೇನ ಮನಸಾ ಪಶ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಂ ಯೋಗಿನೋ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂತಂ ನ ವಿದುಸುರಾಸುರಗಣಾಃ ದೇವಾಯ ತಸ್ಮೈ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯಃ. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಡಿಂಗ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್, ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ 18th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಟೈಟಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗ, ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸಮ್ರೈಸಸ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ನಟ್ಶೆಲ್. ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಉಪಸಂಹಾರ ಅಧ್ಯಾಯ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ chapter of summary of Bhagavad Gita. And here where Bhagavan discussed how the difference in beings is based on the difference in predominance of guna. And the whole jagat being, the manifestation of the power of maya. Maya is nothing but the name given to the unmanifest power. What is the power? The power of knowing. When it is unmanifest, it is called maya or ignorance. The same power becomes manifest. It is knowledge in the form of the universe. The manifest power is knowledge. Unmanifest power is ignorance. Unmanifest power is maya. Manifest power is knowledge. So the same power of the reality, unmanifest is maya, manifest is knowledge in the form of the whole cosmos. So the whole cosmos is nothing but knowledge. Why? It shines in the light of knowledge, which is manifest power of Bhagavan. The whole jagat shines in the light of knowledge, which is the manifest power of the reality. Without which the universe will not shine, which will be as good as non-existent. Therefore, the whole universe is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge is okay. How knowledge is? The power of knowing, when it's manifest, the one power of knowing alone is in the form of power of knowing, power of activity, power of inertia. Therefore, the three powers manifest are three given names. Sattva Gunaha is power of knowing, power of knowledge manifest is Sattva Guna, power of activity manifest is Ajoguna, power of inertia manifest is Tamo Guna. Three gunas are nothing but manifestation of three names given to the three powers. Therefore, the entire universe being the product of the power, manifest power, everything in the universe is ended with three gunas. Everything is three gunas. There's nothing which is not ended with three gunas. But the gunas differ, being to being, person to person. The proportion differs. And we know it is very well understood. When everything is unmanifest, the gunas remain in equilibrium. When there's manifestation, the proportion of gunas differ. Like that, in human beings are also. The classification of human beings is based on the predominance of the gunas. We saw already in the previous class, sattva gunaha, if sattva guna is predominant in a person, rajo guna is the second place, and tamo guna is the third place, then the person of such proportion of gunas as sattva, rajas and tamas, in this order, then the person of this proportion of from this proportion of gunas is known as Brahmanaha. And if the Rajoguna is predominant in a person, Sattvaguna takes second place and Tamoguna is the third place, the person of this proportion of gunas, that Rajas, Sattvam and Tamas, he is called Kshatriyaha. Suppose if Rajaguna is predominant and if Tamoguna is the second place and Sattvaguna is the third place, then the person of this proportion of gunas is known as, that is, Rajas, Tamasan, Sattva. He is called Vaishyaha. Suppose Tamoguna is predominant, Rajas is in second place, Tamoguna, Sattvaguna is the third place, the person of this proportion as Tamas, Rajas and Sattva, and he is known as Shudraha. So all are human beings, all are essentially one, but all are not equal. That inequality is the standpoint of the predominance of gunas. And this predominance of gunas, so one's choice of actions, the inclinations, is based on one's predominance of gunas. Certain people like certain types of activities. Therefore, who is a Brahmana? By birth, one can be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. Doesn't matter. But Shastram wants all of us become Guna Brahmanaha. By virtues, one must become a Brahmana by virtues. One must become a Brahmana by predominance of Guna. Not by birth, but not by action. By profession, one can be a Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, Kshatriya. By birth, one can be a Brahmana, Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya. But Shastram says, all human beings have to be ultimately become Guna Brahmanaha. We all had to become Brahmanaha by virtues, by nature, by Swabhava, by Gunas. And Shastram teaches the way of life. So in keeping with the predominance of Gunas, naturally one's Swabhava, one inclination for activities will be different. In keeping with the predominance of Gunas and the inclination based on the predominance of Guna, one's choice of activities will be there. Therefore, based on the predominance of Guna, the choice of actions, the entire humanity is classified into four groups as Brahmanaha, Kshatriyaha, Vaishyaha and Shudraha. Therefore, none is inferior, none is superior. All of them have their contribution for the social well-being. In order to maintain the social order, all of them have to contribute. But when they do their own duties, if they do their duties as yoga, as a means of when people perform all their duties, a Brahmana has to do his duties, a Kshatriya has to do his duty. It is not that anyone is compelled to do any work. The choice of action is in keeping with, or must be in keeping with, one's inclination based on the predominance of one's nature guna. And that duty, that becomes a duty. One has to do one's duties, one's own duties, with the proper attitude, in conformity with dharma, and with mental equanimity, accepting all situations with sameness of mind as prasada, understanding the nature of the situations, that they're all ordained by Bhagavan in the form of order. Which means people of all varnas have to go through the discipline of Karma Yoga. So one has to understand Karma Yoga, one has to live that way, follow that way of life. Meaning following the discipline called Karma Yoga. That is how a Kshudra or a Vaishya or a Kshatriya can convert oneself into a Guna Brahmana. So living a life of Karma Yoga is prescribed by the Shastram in order to convert oneself into a Brahmana by virtue, by nature, by Swabhava, by the predominance of Guna. That way one becomes eligible for the attainment of Jnanam. One can attain Jnanam, one can accomplish the absolute end, one can make one's life a meaningful, complete and successful life. This is the idea Gunas are discussed. Now let us see this verse, 41st verse. Shamo damas tapashaucham. Now we are going to see how can we understand who is a Brahmana, what is the nature. Shamo damas tapashaucham kshantirarjavamevacha jnanam vijnanamastikyam brahma karma swabhavajam shamo damas tapashaucham. We have to read beautifully here. Shamo damas tapashaucham kshantirarjavamevacha jnanam vijnanamastikyam brahma karma swabhavajam shamo damas tapashaucham shamo damas tapashaucham kshantirarjavamevacha jnanam vijnanamastikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. So brahma karma swabhavajam. See, swabhavajam karma. Swabhava means nature. Swabhavajam means duties in keeping with one's predominance of guna. So bhavajam karma. What is it? Brahma karma. So brahma karma means duties of the brahmanas. Brahma karma means duties of the brahmanas. Brahmanas in keeping with their nature. So bhavajam brahma karma. What are the swabhavajam brahma karma? What are the duties of the brahmanas which are born of their own nature, in keeping with their inclination, keeping with the predominance of guna? They said shamaha. Duties means what? Also shamaha, the virtue here. Shamaha, if a person is predominantly sattvic and rajas is in the second place, tamas is in the third place, naturally, what does it mean? He has shamaha. Shamaha means mastery over one's mind. Then damaha, mastery over one's sense organs. Then tapaha, austerity. Tapaha means what? Tapaha means austerity, penance. So being capable of inflicting certain discomfort to develop strength. This tapaha, austerity. Then shaucham, purity. Kshanti, I'm going to give the literal meaning first. Shaucham means cleanliness. Shaucham means purity. Kshantihi, kshantihi, ikaranta stilinga shabdha. Equivalent word is kshama. Means endurance, tolerance, forbearance, patience. Kshantihi. Arjavam. Arjavam means nobility, straightforwardness, integration is arjavam, straightforwardness, nobility. being noble, sarjavam. Again, being noble, being straightforward means what? Being integrated. Having one's thought, word and deed in alignment is called straightforwardness, arjavam. Jnanam, of course, jnanam, we'll explain later on. Then vijnanam. Jnanam, vijnanam, both words literally mean knowledge. But here let us understand jnanam and vijnanam. Evam cha, and also astikyam. See, astikyam means asti iti buddhihi astikyam. Astikyam means faith. Faith. All these are virtues of the Brahmanas. Or karma, you can say duties of the Brahmanas. How what? Virtues or duties of Brahmanas? What does it mean? Let me make it very clear. See, Brahma karma means, the word Brahma here means Brahmanaha, not reality. Brahma karma means the duty of a Brahmanaha is Brahma karma. Brahma karmani, duties of the Brahmana. The duty of a Brahmana, Brahma karma. In fact, now Bhagavan in this verse has only mentioned many virtues. Having mentioned the virtues, he says these are all the duties of a Brahmana. How can we understand that? What Bhagavan means is the duty of a Brahmana is that a Brahmana has to focus. Brahmana has to spare his time mainly for preserving the Shastra teaching. Preserving the Shastra teaching. How can he preserve the Shastra teaching? Only by propagating the teaching. See, propagating the teaching is the way of preserving the teaching. Propagating the teaching means what? Not by creating missionaries. No. Propagating the teaching means teaching. Propagation is only by teaching. Teaching subject matter of the Shastram. Because subject matter of the Shastram is the greatest wealth. Vidyadhanam. Vidyadhanam. So subject matter of the Shastram is the wealth of knowledge. The treasure of knowledge is that, because Veda Shastram itself is a treasure house of knowledge. And so the wealth of knowledge of the Vedic tradition. So Brahmana is supposed to, I'm saying, a Brahmana who is predominantly sattvic in nature, who is Rajoguna is in second place, who is Tamoguna is in third place, naturally, he is supposed to preserve the wealth of the Shastram by teaching, by propagating it through teaching. And again, they say the tradition here is a Vedic tradition. Vaidikaha dharmaha. Vedic tradition is Vaidika dharmaha. And we have tremendous amount of spiritual wealth in the Vedic tradition. In fact, we have vast treasure of house of knowledge. We have four Vedas, means we have six auxiliary sciences, four Vedangas. And we have many other sciences, such as Mimamsa. Because analytical study of the Karmakanda, analytical study of the Jnanakanda. Pura Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. Then we have so many other scriptures, Shastrani. And in order to make the subject matter of the Veda Shastram easy, and we have many other, apart from the original text called Veda Shastram, we have many 36 Puranas, which all of them reflect the same Vedic teaching, highlighting the values and the teaching of the Shastram through stories. And we have the Dharma Shastram. So we have countless number. In fact, we have so many texts, the vast scriptural, I don't want to use the word scripture because Swamiji doesn't like it. So many Shastra Granthaha, the texts reflecting the subject matter of the Veda Shastram. Therefore, somehow, somewhere, even though not one or two, at least a Brahmana must contribute for preserving the subject matter of the Shastram through propagation of it by teaching that Shastram. So, you know, if he has to teach and propagate and preserve, means he must himself study the Shastram first. So, studying the Shastram also is a duty of a Brahmana. Must study, understand, retain, assimilate, pass it on. So contribute for the perpetuation of, so for preservation of Shastram is also for contributing for perpetuation of Dharma. Means people need to understand Dharma. Only then there will be Dharmi possible. Of course, we can go on and on about, we can talk about the Shastras. And each and every Purana is so huge. And we have commentaries on Puranas. Puranas themselves are very big. Mahabharatam is, you know, how huge it is. And each epic, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, like 36 Puranas, there are commentaries on those Puranas also. If you now don't ask me the number of verses, I tell you, you'll be shocked. So many books we have. And we have, because we have to understand what a duty is of a person. Here also, every human being in every varna has to, every individual, as a man, as a woman, has to play so many roles. And for every role, there are duties. Therefore, how much we need to know about Dharma? Stri Dharma, Purusha Dharma, Raja Dharma, Raja Niti, you know. Like that's for everything we have elaborate study, elaborate commentaries, sub-commentaries, so much we have. And what, how? And they all one must understand subject matter of the Shastra with the help of the teacher. And the teacher means the Brahmana has to play the role of a teacher. So playing the role of the teacher means what? He must himself study the Shastram, understand the Shastram, assimilate the Shastram, and then he must live the Shastram himself. That is how a Brahmana can have the qualification of being an Acharyaha, Shastri, Sharma. Every surname has a beautiful meaning. So Acharyaha also, who is Acharyaha? Shastrani Achinoti, Achare Anyan Sthapayati. So, first of all, he collects the Shastram, he understands the Shastram, then he himself follows the Shastra teaching, and he becomes a role model for others. Thereby, he makes others follow the star. He keeps others also in following the discipline. Swayam acharate anyan acharayati. He makes others follow. He keeps others also in the discipline. So he is Acharyaha. So Brahmana has that. That Brahmana is the one who has to do that. What I'm saying, whoever is doing that, plays the role of a teacher, is a must be Brahmana by guna. By nature, by predominance of guna, he is a Brahmana. Therefore, if this is the thing, and he must have all these virtues, only if it is possible, studying the Shastram, assimilating the Shastram, so wide, so much is there. Studying, understanding, retaining, assimilating, and sitting, being a role model, and following on one's life the Shastram, and teaching others also, is possible. All this is possible only if a person is a virtuous person. He must be highly virtuous person. Means he must be endowed with all these virtues, disciplines. Therefore, first in this verse it is said, okay, Shamaha. So, in order to be a Brahmanaha, in order to be a qualified person who lives the teaching, who is able to teach, who is able to communicate the teaching, who is able to be a role model for others, he must be a person of virtues himself. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna says, to be a Brahmana, he must have all these virtues, Shamaha. Okay, he must have mastery over his mind, which means he must have Shama. In order to have Shama, all of us, whoever wants to be a Brahmana, okay, if you have mastery over your mind, you have that virtue of a Brahmana. So having mastery over mind means what? Any number of thoughts can arise in mind. Desires can rise, likes and dislikes can be there, anger can be there, fear can be there, anxiety. Any number of thoughts can be there, especially desires. The mind is filled with desires always. The desires are of likes and dislikes. And when the desires rise, very naturally, we can't undo the desires. The desires rise, what do we do? Naturally, desires somehow drive us perform the actions, because in order to be fulfilled, desires in order to be fulfilled chase us towards actions. And before we do our actions, we must have discretion in action. We must see whether the desire is, whether the action we have to do is right or wrong, is it conformity with dharma or not. Then only if it is right action, we must do that action, then we can fulfill the desire. If the action that we have to do is not in conformity with dharma, in order to fulfill the desire, then we have to refrain from that action. If that capacity, if a person has, if a Brahmana is the one who is capable of refraining from the wrong, doing the right, which means the Brahmana is the one whose actions are not simply driven by his desires, expressions of his desires, but Brahmana is the one whose actions are governed by his knowledge of right and wrong. Thereby, when a person is capable of managing his desires, he's capable of managing his anger, because the jealousy, hatred, all the emotions. Every Brahmana also, every human being will have all these emotions. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsri, all these emotions will be there. But Brahmana is the one who has mastery over these thoughts. He does not allow himself to become the slave. He is not enslaved by his emotions. He has mastery over his emotions, because he's committed to live a life of dharma. As a karma yogi, he's committed to live a life of dharma. As a jnani, he has absolute mastery over his emotions. Shamaha. Okay. Thereby, because he has mastered over his emotions, the emotions do not disturb him. Emotions do not disturb him. If you're a slave, emotions will disturb you. If you have mastery, you will not be disturbed by them. Even if you are not disturbed by them, you have tranquility. You have serenity. So shamaha means having tranquil mind, serene mind, as a result of having mastery over one's emotions. This is shamaha. Therefore, a person who is given to this job of teaching, one who is given to this Brahmana karma, naturally must have this mental serenity, a tranquility, as a result of having mastery over one's emotions. Then Dhamaha. Of course, if he has mastery over his mind, means he must have mastery over his sense organs also. So Dhamaha means what? Consciously not allowing oneself to indulge in the enjoyment of sense pleasures excessively. Of course, any human being is allowed to enjoy sense pleasures. Nobody needs to deprive oneself of enjoyment of sense pleasures. But Brahmana is the one who has mastery over his sense organs, that he knows the limitations of sense pleasures. Therefore, even he enjoys. Brahmana is not the one who deprives himself of the enjoyment of sense pleasures, but one who knows the limitations, one knows the danger of indulging oneself in sense pleasures. Therefore, one who consciously, thoughtfully does not allow himself to indulge in excessive sense pleasures excessively. One who is moderate in the enjoyment of sense pleasures, that too in conformity with dharma. Because his commitment to dharma, Brahmana is the one who will not compromise with anything for dharma, because of his commitment to live a life of values, and he is conscious of indulging himself in the enjoyment of pleasures, that he does not overindulge in sense pleasures. Therefore, such a person is called Saddhama, who has mastery over sense organs. However nice, the tasty the food, he will eat only enough. He will not overeat. Even if he likes it, even if it's nice, he'll eat, but he will not overeat. He will not similarly enjoying any sense pleasure for that matter. See, watching something, hearing something, tasting something, or even in physical enjoyment, in anything. So, in enjoying any sense pleasures, he'll be very moderate. He will not overindulge. So, being able to keep oneself away from overindulgence in enjoyment of sense pleasures is Dhamaha, mastery over one's sense organs. Brahmana must have this virtue. Only then he can be successful in his, he's a successful professional. Otherwise, he's not a Brahmana. If he takes up this job, Brahmana karma, then he will be a failure. Then tapaha. See, tapaha means austerity, penance. See, the word tapas, penance, has to be interpreted properly in different contexts. Here, tapas, austerity or penance implies here living one's life with minimum or little in limited possession, living one's life with little possession, not too much of possessions. What does it mean? Living a simple life. Brahmana is a person of simple life with great thinking. Brahmana is supposed to have only the important things that he needs to live his life. Therefore, tapas in this context does not mean that really punishing himself with the discomforts, etc. Literally, the tapas in this context means living a simple life with basic needs one need to have to live this life. That is simple life. Then that preparedness must be there. One must be able to be with simple basic needs. If a person is craving for more than basic needs, he may be given more comforts and more things in life. The Brahmana must be happy, satisfied with minimum basic needs to live his life as a Brahmana. Then he has that preparedness to live a simple life with the basic needs and without craving for, aspiring for more of possessions, then he is a person of austerity, penance. What is shaucham? Shaucham literally means cleanliness or purity. So living a simple life, a person of austerity, means a person of simplicity. So being a person of simplicity implies what? Being a person of clean life. Being a person of clean life means what? Not only externally being clean, living a clean life means being free from not having a split personality, not being a man of split personality. Meaning the thought, word and deed are not in alignment, not identical. What one does and what one thinks and what one knows differ means there is a split personality. So if a person is committed to live a life of dharma, then that person is a person of purity, a person who lives a clean life. So living a clean life means not living with luxuries, not living with comforts. Living a clean life means living a prayerful, worshipful life governed by dharma. Living a life of karma yoga is in fact shaucham, antara shaucham. Antara shaucham means inner purity. Bahya shaucham, external purity. This we already read, understood in the 6th chapter. Therefore, antara shaucham, bahya shaucham means externally a person lives the basic needs without aspiring, craving for any excessive comforts and pleasures. At the same time, the person is so committed to dharma that his thought, word and deed are in alignment. Thereby, he's also internally also he's a pure person. He's a person of inner purity. Then, next word is what? Shantihi. So, in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says repeatedly, what Bhagavan implies repeatedly is, living a life of karma yoga is for earning all these qualifications. Shamaha, Dhamaha, all these qualifications one can have, virtues one can have only by living a life of karma yoga, where one consciously practices Shamaha, Dhamaha, etc. Thereby, those disciplines. In fact, karma yoga itself is prescribed for antakkarna shuddhi. So brahmana, see, karma yogi has to make efforts. A person who is a brahmana, who has attained jnanam, or who is working for jnanam, will naturally be a person of inner purity, because he doesn't compromise with dharma for anything. Okay, then shantihi. Shantihi. Shamaha and shantihi. Shamaha means, in fact, Shamaha is a masculine gender word. Shantihi is a feminine gender word. Same meaning. But here, both words are used here. Therefore, what it means is, Brahmana, as he is a person of simplicity, he lives life with basic needs and minimum requirements, the commitment to dharma. Naturally, he can't afford to have physical comforts. And if you're not physically comfortable, you may feel mentally restless. So lack of physical, having to have physical discomfort may make a person feel mentally restless and agitated. So here, shantihi implies brahmanaha. Shantihi is a virtue of a brahmana which enables him to withstand any discomfort. It means shantihi here means readiness, the mental preparedness, readiness to have any discomfort. Mental, internal readiness, internal preparedness to accept any, withstand any external discomfort. Suppose there are some people cannot live without air conditioning. Some people can live with just AC, without AC. I mean, with you, without fan. Because it's difficult to withstand heat, it's difficult to withstand. Very difficult to live in cold countries. It's very difficult to put up with humidity. Very difficult to be without heating. Of course, heating you need, or you'll freeze otherwise. Is it possible to live in a house which has goes below 0 degrees? That's difficult. You need at least heating. That is difficult. See, nothing but the cost of one's physical health. But if physical health can be managed with the basic needs, then you can manage that. So some people may ask the question, you talk about the heat, then is it wrong to have a heating in the cold weather in England? Now, that's not the meaning. What it means, a person who is predominantly sattvic will have this capacity, okay, the inner ability to put up with any external discomforts. That is shanti in this context. Otherwise, shanti and samaha mean the same. Anyway, again, it's what? Absence of mental disturbance. So shanti and samaha are very close. The samaha is meant the serenity, tranquility one has as a result of one's having mastery over emotions. But the serenity or tranquility a person has as a result of the capacity to withstand one's external discomfort. That is mental readiness. Is shanti here. Then arjavam. Arjavam, I already told you. Arjavam means rujuta. Rujuta means what? You know, the person who follows this, any Brahmana is also called Aryaha. Aryaha is the one who follows this virtue of Arjava, who has this virtue of Arjava, Rujuta. Means Brahmana must be a person of integration. Being a person of integration means not having a split personality. Not having split personality means what? Having one's thought, word and deed in alignment. One's thinking and one's behavior, one's knowledge must be in alignment. Then it is arjavam. That is why, and that comes only when it's a commitment to live a life of dharma, it is possible. So these all natural virtue. If the one who is a Brahmana, if a person is predominantly sattvic, but rajas in second place, tamas in third place, and his job must be what? The inclination must be for teaching. And if he has to play the role of a teacher with a great goal of the high thinking of preserving and protecting, preserving the Shastram, and to propagate the Shastram, he has to teach the Shastram, he has to live the teaching, he has to, you know, but role model for the teachers means he has to have all these virtues. Next is jnanam. Jnanam is what? Jnanam is the most important virtue of a Brahmana is a jnanam. We have vijnanam also. We're going to see that later on. So, jnanam literally means knowledge. And Brahmana's main, according to Veda Shastram, in the tradition, it is said, a Brahmana's Sudharma, Sudharma, duty of a Brahmana is to study himself first, thereby he will be able to teach in order to preserve and propagate the Shastram. The people of other Varnas, they are not that they should not study. Their inclination for learning is much less than the Brahmana. Of course, Kshatriyas are also highly learned people. So, how much a Kshatriya learns, if you ask? So, Kshatriya's knowledge of the Shastram is limited. That Kshatriya understands what is right, what is wrong. What is dharma in a given context? What is adharma in a given context? So, Kshatriya's understanding of the Shastram is limited, that he understands dharma and dharma properly. And he knows how to interpret dharma and adharma in given context also. At the same time, Kshatriya, he learns the Shastram. But Kshatriya is not involved in teaching the Shastram. Kshatriya does not take up the profession of teaching. He learns Shastram. He understands dharma and adharma. He knows how to interpret dharma and adharma also in the proper context, mainly for preserving the dharma. But he is not involved in the teaching. And if you look, think of Vaishya's involvement in the Shastra, Vaishya's study also is only to understand enough to live his life. Whereas a Brahmanaha is the one who is supposed to give his whole life. Brahmana's entire life is meant for teaching. Therefore, if the whole life is meant for teaching, means his learning also must be throughout his life. He must be learning and learning, so he must be teaching also. There's no time when he should stop. He must be teaching while learning. He must be learning, okay? He must learn to teach. Then while teaching also, he must be learning. Therefore, jnanam, always his focus must be on knowing. For what? For teaching. This jnanam is another virtue. So if a person is predominantly sattvic in nature, he must be inclined for knowing. So he must be given to the learning while teaching also, because there's no time. Then the learning does not stop for a Brahmana. Who's a real Brahmana, learning never stops. Until he becomes a Jnani Brahmana also. And what next is Vijnanam. What is Vijnanam? So as a Brahmana, as a person who is predominantly sattvic in nature, his profession happens to be teaching, he must be given to the habit of learning while teaching. In terms of even all other disciplines. Now, as a Brahmana, of course, he must be given to study of the Jnanakanda also. Therefore, a Brahmana must focus his attention on attaining the self-knowledge, Brahma Jnanam. So, attainment of Brahma Jnanam is what? Vijnanam. Always being inclined for learning more of the Aparavidya is Jnanam. And being given to the discipline of the study of the Shastram and attaining the knowledge of the self is Vijnanam. Okay. Then Astikyam. Astikya means what? Astiti buddhi astikyam. Astiti buddhi means what? Veda Shastram, Vedaha Pramana Grantaha Eva. So having unflinching faith in the teaching of the Veda Shastram, acceptance of Veda Shastram as a means of the attainment of knowledge of the truth. Acceptance of Veda Shastram, unflinching faith in the Veda Shastram as a means of attainment of spiritual wisdom and also all other subtle facts. Pertaining to the material world also, such as going to heaven, etc. So, we have six pramanams. We have six means of knowledge. Pratyaksha pramanam and perception. Then anumana pramanam, inference. As arthapatti pramanam, presumption. Shabda pramanam, in a word, shastram. Upamanam, comparison. Then we have pramanas. So to have the knowledge of the material world, one can use one's sense organs. One can have, one can rely on pratyaksha pramana, the direct perception. The means of direct perception can be used by anyone to have knowledge of the material world. And based on the pratyaksha pramana, one can make use of other means of knowledge, such as inference, comparison, etc. also, to have knowledge of the material world. And Brahmana must make use of all pramanas. And above all, the Shabda Pramanam, Veda Shastra Pramanam also, he is dependent on Veda Shastra Pramanam. He must surrender himself to Veda Shastra Pramanam as a means of knowledge. Thereby, he can have, he can understand the spiritual end also. He can accomplish the spiritual end also. So to have the vision of the spiritual truth, and to understand the material world, he needs to make use of all these means of knowledge. So he has unflinching faith in a Brahmana, must have unflinching faith in the words, teaching of the Shastram. Otherwise, for a Brahmana, the support, the strength, he is the veracity, okay, in what the Shastram teaches. When Brahmana teaches, his strength is the veracity is what he teaches. And because he must have faith in the Shastra's teaching, that this Shastra is great because the veracity in what Shastram says. His strength of the Shastram. And when he understands and he teaches the Shastram, his strength also becomes the veracity in what he teaches. Therefore, Astikyam. Because all pramanams, I taught you when I was taught you introduction to Vedanta, all pramanams, all means, other means of knowledge except the Veda Shastram, serve as pramanam to know anything and everything other than what you are. Because you are the operator of the pramanams. Whereas Veda Shastram is the one which helps you understand what you are. And this is a proper lakshana, isn't it? The method of negation, it helps you understand what you are. Therefore, one must have faith in the Shastram. Suppose your person being predominantly sattvic does not have faith in the Shastram. My God, what is it which can help? If you don't believe your own eyes, then what is it which can help you see the world? Therefore, Brahmana must have faith in the Shastram. In fact, he will have faith in the Shastram. Astikya buddhi must be there. Only that is the result of having sattvic buddhi. That's the result of having predominance of sattva. Astikyam. Okay, so now we have seen this. Shamo damastapashaucham shantirarjavamevacha ஞானம் விஞ்ஞானம் ஆஸ்திக்யம் பிரம்ம கர்ம ஸ்வபாவஜம். ஆல் தீஸ் ஆர் வர்ச்சுஸ் விச் ஆர் நேச்சுரலி ஃபவுண்ட் இன் அ பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் ப்ரிடாமினன்ட்லி சாத்விக் இன் நேச்சர், ஹூ சஜஸ்ட் இஸ் இன் செகண்ட் பிளேஸ், தமஸ் இஸ் இன் தேர்ட் பிளேஸ். தேர்ஃபோர் தீஸ் ஆர் தி வர்ச்சுஸ் ரெக்கர்ட் ஃபார் அ பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் இன்க்ளைன்ட் ஃபார் தி profession of a brahmana. Okay, shauryam tejo dhritis dhritir dakshyam so swabhavajam means what? All these virtues are naturally there as a result of having predominance of tamas, sattva. Okay. Shauryam tejo dhritir dakshyam yuddhe cha. Please see this 43rd verse. Now we are going to see what is the duty of a kshatriya, what are the virtues of a kshatriya in order to be a professional, in order to be, you know, to involved in the profession of a kshatriya. What are the virtues one must have in order to be inclined for the duty of a kshatriya? Shauryam tejo dhritir dakshyam yuddhe chapya palayanam தானமீஸ்வர பாவஸ்ச க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம ஸ்வபாவஜம். ஷௌர்யம் தேஜோ த்ருதிர் தாக்ஷ்யம் யுத்தே சாப்ய பலாயனம். ஷௌர்யம் தேஜோ த்ருதிர் தாக்ஷ்யம் யுத்தே சாப்ய பலாயனம் தானமீஸ்வர பாவஸ்ச க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம ஸ்வபாவஜம். ஷௌர்யம் தேஜோ த்ருதிர் தாக்ஷ்யம் யுத்தே சாப்ய பலாயனம் தானமீஸ்வர பாவஸ்ச க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம ஸ்வபாவஜம். So in 43rd verse, Bhagavan presents the virtues of a kshatriya. What are found in a kshatriya who is inclined for the profession of a kshatriya? He says, shauryam, tejaha, dhritihi, dakshyam, yuddhecha api அபலாயனம், யுத்தே ச அபி ச அண்ட் யுத்தே அபி அபலாயனம், தானம் ஈஸ்வர பாவக ச க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம ஸ்வபாவஜம், ஸ்வபாவஜம் க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம, ஸ்வபாவஜம் க்ஷாத்ரம் கர்ம. So what Bhagavan says in this? Like Subhavajam Brahma Karma, Subhavajam Kshatram Karma. So Kshatriya, in order to be inclined for the duties of a Kshatriya, which a Kshatriya is naturally inclined for, one must have these virtues of a Kshatriya. First, Shauryam. Shauryam means shurata. Shuraha means hero. Shuraha means brave. Shuraha means a brave person, courageous person. Courageous person, brave person. And the shauryam means bravery, courage. So courage and bravery implies heroism. Shauryam. Then tejaha, power. dhritihi, will, strong will. See, don't think Brahmana is not a hero, okay? Brahmana is also strong. Brahmana's strength is born of knowledge. Whereas a Kshatriya, of Brahmana's strength is born of knowledge and his commitment to Dharma. So, Kshatriya's strength is born of his commitment to Dharma. It's bravery, courage, shauryam. Tejaha, power. Dhritihi, strong will. Dhritihi, okay, we say fortitude, resolve. Implies what? Strong will. Strong, which is the strong will? Again, next question. Which is the strong will? A will which is surrendered to Bhagavan in the name of Dharma is a strong will. So the person who is committed to Dharma, his will is strong will. One who make the will which is properly used is a strong will. Dhritihi. Dakshyam. Dakshyam. Dakshyam means he must have all resources. So, having all resources, we make it noun, resourcefulness. Being substantial, being substantial, being resourceful is daksham. Resourcefulness. Then, cha api, and also a palayanam. See, palayanam means running away from the battlefield, showing the back, okay? Showing the back, running away from the battlefield. When you fight against dharma, adharma, if a person runs away showing the back, it's called palayanam. A palayanam means not running away. See, not running away, showing the back, when he happens to fight against adharma, that is the heroism, that is the virtue of a kshatriya. So not where running away means what? Not simply when he's doing jogging for his exercise, no. Yuddhe, yuddhe cha. Api apalayanam, not running away from the battle, showing the back when he happens to fight against adharma. Yuddhecha api apalayanam. So palayanam, palayate, palayate means running, runs away. Palayanam, running away. Apalayanam, not running away from the battlefield. Yuddhe, in the battle. Then dānam. Dānam means giving. Giving is dānam. So, and being highly generous and magnanimous. So, magnanimity, generosity becomes a natural virtue of a kshatriya. He must give for. Īśvara bhāvaha. Ishvara bhavaha means Bhagavan has Aishwarya. Ishvara bhavaha means having overlordship. Okay, overlordship is Ishvara bhavaha. The status of being a lord is overlordship. Aishwarya. So king also has Ishvara bhavaha. So who can have his overlordship? Who is the one who can enjoy the status of being the lord? One who has the capacity to protect. Every king, any kshatriya, must be capable of protecting the simple people who live a life of dharma. They must be protected, looked after. So they are not, they do not suffer. So the king who has the responsibility of protecting dharma, thereby protecting the dharmis in the country, is the one, is like he has the lordship. overlordship, Ishvara Bhavaha. So these are all the virtues of a Kshatriya. In order to be able to do the duties of a Kshatriya, to be inclined for the duties of a Kshatriya. Which are naturally born, Swabhavajam. They're the virtues of a Kshatriya to be involved in the naturally inclined duties of a Kshatriya. Natural inclination, duty, which is natural inclination of a Kshatriya. So, we understood now, Shauryam, bravery, courage, implying heroism, Tejaha, understood all these words. So, what should be the duties of a Kshatriya? Of course, completely different aptitude, different inclination. Because he is predominantly rajasic in nature. A Kshatriya is a person of activity. Always he is very activity. A person of activity means he is predominantly rajasic. At the same time, the rajasic be predominant rajoguna is backed by, supported by sattvaguna. Sattva is the second place. Therefore, he is highly active, but his activities are all in conformity with dharma. He's committed to level of dharma. He will not go against dharma because his rajoguna is backed by sattvaguna. Suppose which, when you understand, Bhagavan presents all these virtues, no? Why? We can choose from here. Oh, these are all the virtues I like. These are all the virtues, no? I think this is suitable for me. If you think, then you can decide, okay? Then which dharma is suitable for you, duty is suitable for you, and which you're inclined for. That's what Bhagavan presents here. It is for us to also study our own inclination, our own nature. Whether I'm a Kshatriya or a Brahmana or a Vaishya by nature, what am I predominantly? These virtues will tell you. Otherwise, you can try to have those virtues in order to be that if you don't have also. So, Kshatat Trayate Iti Kshatriyaha. Kshatam means wound. Trayate means protects. So the one who protects the one from getting wounded. Okay? Wounded by another me is called Kshatriya. So a king is a Kshatriya. A ruler is a Kshatriya. Any army person is a Kshatriya. A warrior, a soldier is a Kshatriya. But because people who contribute by their duties, contribute for protecting dharma, contribute for maintaining the social order by maintaining the law and order of the society. People who contribute for maintaining the social law and order are all the protectors of dharma, protectors of the society. If there must, the society has to live in harmony, if there must be harmonious society, if there must be harmonious atmosphere society, then naturally, the law and order of society must be maintained. And for which we need people. No, there must be rulers. There must be kings. So they must be ready always to enter into, if there's any disorder in the society, whenever socially, the law and order society is disturbed, there must be readiness to do something, to fight or to kill or to do something to bring back the order. So that's why they contribute for maintaining the social order. That means suddenly a person has to jump in to do something to maintain the order, means he can't afford to be a weak person. He must have the courage, he must have that strong will to make use of the will, not to abuse the will also. So he, Kshatriya, is the one who cannot be compromised. Now, nowadays people go and give some bribe and then they can buy the ministers, they can buy the MPs and MLAs. They know dharma. Whereas a king or the leader of the society, the ruler of the society, king must be one who cannot be bought easily. It means who will not abuse his will, who will only make use of the will. He makes the best use of his will, means he surrenders his will to Bhagavan in the form of dharma. Therefore, his commitment to dharma itself blesses him with tremendous courage, that he is ready to enter into the field to do the needful to maintain the social order. So, he is a person of shauryam, tejaha. So, tejaha means some sort of power that he is capable of facing enemy, however strong he is. Having the power, being to that extent, being capable of facing enemy of any strength, is tejaha. He is capable of overpowering his enemy. That's that having the capability to face enemy of any strength, in order to overpower him, is called tejaha. Then I told you already, dhritihi means strong willpower. The strong willpower is the power, willpower which is surrendered to Bhagavan. The form of dharma means whoever goes against sadharma. He's a sattviki dhriti. He's a person of sattviki dhriti. We have already understood 17th chapter. Rajasi dhritihi, tamasi dhritihi, etc. So, kshatriyas dhritihi is a sattviki dhritihi. Not tamasi dhritihi. Rajasi also. Then, dakshyam. See, dakshyam means being substantial, having resources is daksham. I mean resourcefulness. Having being substantial is daksham. So being substantial means what? Being informed of many things and having all understanding to be able to do the needful quickly. Suppose the situation, some calamity happens. Calamity, maybe it is caused by adharmic people or enemy kings or this antisocial elements or natural calamities. See, there may be disturbances. Adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika. Anything happens. But natural calamity happens. Then the drought comes or overfloods comes. The people are suffering. The king has to do something. Similarly, suppose the enemy comes attacking. Again, water has to be protected. So, there may be any problem which happens to society which affects the social harmony and the wellness of the people and even other living beings also. Then the king must be a person of resources that he must be able to do the needful to tackle the situation with the presence of mind. So the king must have the presence of mind to do the needful, to tackle the situation, to sort it out, to sort out the problem. Means he must be capable of deciding. He must be capable of making decisions quickly without any delay so that he can do the needful with the presence of mind to sort out the problem. That is such means knowing things. That's said to be Dakshyam. Being a solid person, being a person of resources is a quality of a king. It's a virtue of a leader. Any leader must have that. So, being informed of worldly situations. So, being a resourcefulness. Then, yuddhe cha api apalayanam. So, literally it means in the battlefield, a real king, a brave king, a real kshatriya who is committed to dharma and who is person of courage will never run away from the battle, showing his back, especially when he has to fight against adharma. Of course, the battlefield, a king will come to the battlefield only when he has to fight against adharma. There, suppose seeing the strength of the army, of the enemies, it is natural for people to run away from the battle. Oh, they are very strong. They may kill me. So, if there's a fear of death in the mind of a king, even though he's a righteous person, even though he's committed to dharma, even though he's a brave person, so with all bravery, with all his commitment to dharma, because a kshatriya, he comes to the battlefield, even then, seeing the strength of the army's enemy's army, and sometimes when in the battle, when the war is going on also, suddenly suppose if he happens to lose, and the fear of death comes, it is possible for a person to run away from the battlefield, showing the back. Some will be escaped now. I lost kingdom, I lost people, I lost armies. Let me escape. It's possible for a king to run away. But a real kshatriya who has kshatram, will not run away from the battlefield. So, in fact, not running away from the battlefield, especially in a bad situation, is apalayanam. That is also kshatra gunaha, virtue of a kshatriya. Then dhanam. See, a leader of the society, king of the country, ruler of the land. Of course, these are the people who are resourceful in terms of information, resourceful in terms of wealth also. As ruler, they must, not like a brahmana, they must have possessions, their possessions and position. Having a position of the lordship, having a status of being the lord, the king, naturally, he must have, the position brings possessions also. And as a person of possession, and Hisham is stingy, miserly person, only enjoying everything for himself, his own pleasures and that. No. A king is the one whose wealth and possessions are always distributed for preserving dharma, preserving knowledge, for preserving all forms of arts, all forms of knowledge. So Kshatriya's contribution alone can help the entire society have education, learning. So all that, all the society, whatever, even whether for dwelling, inhabited, okay, whether for dwelling accommodations, for teaching, and for preserving all forms of arts, culture, money needs to be spent. So Kshatriya is a thoughtfully, Kshatriya is the one, the person who has this Kshatra, the virtue of a Kshatriya, who's highly generous and magnanimous, must definitely spend his money, spend all his possessions for dharmic activities. So all the kings, that's why those days, poets, learned scholars, and who had scholarship in language, art, music, any fine art, and also the brahmanas who were for teaching shastram or Veda Parshalas, so everything, this help was from the ruler of the country, the king. Governments aided, okay? You know, we said government takes tax money and we pay. So here also the ruler, what does he do? Takes all the money, not that, spending for wrong things. The money is taken from the people as tax. The money is again spent for protecting society by contributing for all the cultural maintenance of the society, maintaining the culture of the society. Then Ishvara Bhavaha. Ishvara Bhavaha. We'll stop with the second. Ishvara Bhavaha means Aishwaryam, overlordship. So Ishvara Bhavaha means always he must be commanding respect. Commanding respect by his commitment to dharma. A Kshatriya is always brave and courageous because of the strength he has as a result of his commitment to dharma. Therefore, he commands respect. As a person commanding respect because of his valor, and the very personality becomes very magnanimous. So he must eat well, he must be physically strong, mentally strong. Even though he Kshatriya is not mentally as strong as Brahmana, because Brahmana's strength is jnanam, Kshatriya's strength is commitment to dharma. Commitment to dharma gives him, is very strong. Kshatriya is a very strong person. Mentally strong, mental strength is because of his commitment to dharma. Physical strength is because of the capacity to eat well. And thereby, And that mental strength, physical strength adds to his magnanimity in his personality. And the way he commands respect. That is Ishvara Bhavaha. A king cannot be a puny, small person. So he must have that. He must have that mental strength must be revealed in his physical personality. Which should be commanding respect. Then it is Ishvara Bhavaha. So these are all the virtues of a person who is predominantly rajasic in nature. At the same, sattva is in second place. Tamas is in third place. So the person who is of these virtues will be naturally inclined for the duties of a kshatriya. Kshatriyas swabhavaja swabhavajam karma. First of these virtues will be inclined for kshatriya's duties, which are natural expressions of a kshatriya. Okay, we'll see. Shudras next class. It's all right. Was it clear today? Okay. We'll continue next class. Okay. I try to do fast, but it takes time. You can't rush. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.